Picture a South Park episode where townspeople treat the economy as an angry deity demanding sacrifice. This satirical portrayal isn't far from our actual national discourse, where politicians constantly invoke the need to sacrifice for economic health in almost biblical terms. We've been conditioned to worry about hurting the economy rather than hurting actual people. Meanwhile, our financial high priests, bankers, and CEOs interpret the economy's will while breaking rules with impunity. The metaphors we use to describe economics aren't just figures of speech. They fundamentally shape how we understand financial reality and what solutions we consider possible. This linguistic framing explains why, despite causing financial catastrophe, not a single executive faced criminal charges after 2008. The economy isn't a force of nature or a moral arbiter. It's a human creation that can be redesigned to serve human needs. For most Americans, including 80% of Congress members, the economy is incomprehensible. Studies show fewer than half of adults understand basic concepts like inflation or interest rates. The economy is abstract. You can't hold, weigh, or see it. We make sense of such abstractions through conceptual metaphors, unconsciously comparing intangibles to concrete things. Research shows these metaphors profoundly shape our reasoning. When crime is described as a beast, 71% favor law enforcement solutions. When described as a virus, only 54% do, with more preferring preventative programs. These metaphorical comparisons affect our judgments more powerfully than partisan identification, and they operate below conscious awareness. Consider Kelly Williams Bowler, jailed and barred from teaching for using her father's address to access better schools for her children, or Lily Ledbetter, who discovered male colleagues at Goodyear earned more for identical work over 19 years, only to have her discrimination case dismissed on technicality. These cases reveal how playing by the rules benefits some while penalizing others. Americans already outwork most industrialized nations, 137 more hours yearly than Japanese workers, 260 more than British, and 499 more than French workers. We're unique among developed nations in lacking mandated sick leave or paid parental leave. The issue isn't work ethic. Increased productivity has eliminated jobs while concentrating wealth at the top. The emphasis on rule following and hard work perpetuates a myth that success depends solely on individual choices, ignoring systemic inequalities of race, class, gender, and social capital. This maintains the illusion of meritocracy while obscuring how different rules apply to different people. In reality, only the rule makers truly prosper from this system. The 2008 housing market collapse created an opportunity to challenge decades of right-wing economic dogma rooted in Milton Friedman's theories of minimal government intervention. Yet progressives failed to seize this moment. While we highlighted inequality and wage stagnation, we never effectively challenged the underlying economic framework. Our key weakness is explaining how the economy works and why our solutions would fix it, rather than just describing problems and proposing policies. We haven't created a compelling narrative to counter the conservative free market story they promote relentlessly. Like Apple creating demand for previously unknown devices, progressives must generate public appetite for a new economic vision. Instead, we get lost in disconnected critiques of specific failures, offering regulations without tying them to a coherent story about how the economy fundamentally works. Conservative strategist Frank Luntz demonstrates this power through carefully crafted phrases like Clear Skies Initiative and Death Tax. Progressive politicians, believing facts alone persuade, rarely focus on language. Without challenging the metaphorical frameworks that shape economic understanding, progressives cannot effectively advocate for their solutions. While conservatives rely on just two or three economic models, progressives use many inconsistent metaphors that weaken their message. We often describe the economy as a living body, suffering, unhealthy, or not thriving. This suggests natural cycles requiring minimal interference and frames regulations as unwanted restrictions. Alternatively, we describe the economy through weather and water metaphors, weathering storms, or money that flows. Even prominent progressives like Paul Krugman use this language, describing a world awash in cheap money and assets that evaporate. These metaphors imply economic conditions are natural forces beyond human control. Such naturalistic metaphors reinforce the idea that the economy self-regulates and inequality is inevitable, supporting trickle-down theory. By treating the economy as a natural system with its own agency, we obscure the actual decision-makers and choices shaping economic outcomes. Unlike naturalistic metaphors, the economy as object in motion framework refreshingly portrays the economy as human-made. Often depicted as a vehicle, this metaphor focuses on speed, direction, and control. This model works because vehicles are human-made, not natural forces, and require operators, suggesting government has a legitimate role in steering the economy and creating rules of the road. The economy as journey facilitator metaphor zooms in from the vehicle to focus on passengers, actual people. This model helps articulate inequality issues through journey metaphors. Some people get a head start, others find themselves in the wrong place at the wrong time, and social programs help those who've fallen behind. Beyond the vehicle metaphor, the economy as constructed object model conveys that economies are human creations, with foundational components that can be damaged or destroyed by external events. It suggests expertise is needed for construction and maintenance, justifying government intervention during crises. These alternative metaphors create space for progressive arguments about government's role, unlike organic metaphors that make intervention seem unnatural. By consciously choosing metaphors that align with progressive values, we can reshape public understanding of economic issues and create support for policies that promote shared prosperity. Common metaphors for inequality often undermine effective action. We typically describe economic differences using horizontal terms, like gap or divide, which visualize outcomes but obscure causes. Vertical metaphors like top and bottom are similarly problematic, subtly implying the wealthy's superiority since up traditionally represents good in English. A better metaphor frames inequality as a barrier, an artificial wall behind which resources are hoarded. This emphasizes how wealth concentration actively prevents others from advancing, regardless of their efforts or abilities. It correctly places responsibility on systemic obstacles rather than those facing them. Economics isn't value neutral, despite its claims. Its core assumptions, scarcity, unlimited consumption desire, perfect information, and purely rational choice, contradict human nature. We're inherently social beings who succeed through cooperation, not just competition. We must reshape our economic language to acknowledge that the economy is human-made and changeable. The current distribution of wealth stems from specific laws, policies, and practices, not natural law or individual merit. By accepting language that frames inequality as natural and mysterious, progressives inadvertently strengthen the status quo that benefits the wealthy few. Economic equality becomes possible only when we recognize these barriers as artificial constructs that collective action can dismantle. The economy isn't an immutable force, but a tool we created and can redesign to serve everyone's well-being, not just the privileged few.